Well, it is the beginning of our sort of fall kickoff time, and just as I say that, the sunshine is coming out, so I'll just take that as a good sign for the fall. How long that will last, we'll see, but God is good in so many ways, and I just look forward to the fall for a number of reasons. One of those is because we begin our fall ministries. Yes, very different this year than last year, but we are delighted to say that our youth group had their first little barbecue spaced out nicely in the backyard on Friday night. Our College and Careers will be having a barbecue later on today, a small group of them. Our in-house Bible study on Wednesday nights will begin this Wednesday, so we encourage you just to be part of these. We're continuing to do our best to stay safe and follow all the rules, and we're just rejoicing, though, that God gives us even new opportunities to worship and fellowship together. But I want to then, in light of that, have you think with me. Yes, we have some of the kids here, so I want you paying attention as well. Of course, all the older people always pay attention. Isn't that right, kids? Not so sure. Well, we'll find out today. We want you to pay attention because I want you to think of, first of all, as you begin to look at God's Word, as we're going on a journey. Now, if you've ever had opportunity to travel, not very far, of course, in the last 8 months, but if you've had opportunity to travel, you have to plan well. If you're going camping, then you have a lot more to prepare for than if you're staying in a 5-star luxury hotel. But we all plan. We need things to take with us, whether it's food or extra clothes, a fishing rod. We want to prepare well for the journey. Part of the reason is so that when we get partway through the journey, we realize, oh, I forgot something. We don't want that to happen. We want to prepare well. And you can think about the most important things that you might have to take with you. Sadly, for most of our kids today, the most important thing is their tablet. Well, maybe there's more important things, but that's the life we live in. We plan for the most important things. Well, to keep that thought in mind, and let's think for a moment about not just our journey into the fall with our ministries here at Faith, but the journey of life as a Christian. It's a long journey. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, and if you haven't, you really should, at least before you get to heaven, because it's one of those important books to read. And it's the wonderful story by John Bunyan about the pilgrim named Christian and his journey to the celestial city, heaven itself. And there's planning and things to prepare. And so when we think about the Christian journey, the spiritual journey, what do we think about? What do we need to take with us? What are most important? Well, we might think about fellowship. But to be a Christian following the Lord, we need encouragement from other Christians and believers. Fellowship together, absolutely. We might think about prayer, the importance of having a prayer life. No doubt, very important on the journey of life as a Christian. But I'm sure that we would all agree that one of the, if not the most important component, would be the Bible itself. God's Word, to instruct us, to lead us, to encourage us. Isn't that something of what the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 105? Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path always. The reminder that God's Word is instrumental to us, an essential item on the life of a believer as we're getting to heaven. And so I want to think about that theme here this morning as you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Think of the Scriptures and their importance or the encouragement that we receive from the Bible as we use it in life. And I think it's significant for us to do that. As you're turning to that text, I want to think in terms of our team leaders, our study leaders and so on, and all of you participating here going into the fall, God's Word. Let's think about that and the importance that leads us forward. But not just there, of course. We want to think in terms of your life this morning. And listen very carefully, in-house, online. God's Word needs to be the first instrument in your coming to saving faith. And so this morning, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to see the importance of God's Word in helping you to understand your need for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But secondly, as Christians, let's see this reminder from God's Word as the encouragement to that which is most essential to my life as a Christian, the Scriptures. Maybe a good question for you to ask yourself is, how much time do I actually spend in God's Word every day? Is it just a quick word, you know, a verse on the way out the door in the morning to give you a pick-me-up for the day? Or are we really getting down into God's Word? Now, that's a very personal thing. But I would argue, and may speak more of this at the end of my message this morning, that our spiritual life will be up or down very much based upon the time we spend meditating upon God's Word. It has an effect. It's an important part of the journey, instrumental to our lives. Now, you would not disagree with that, but the question is, are we actually doing it? And then as a follow-up to that, too, is how we might encourage one another on the journey as a body of believers as we look to the ministry of the Word in this place. Now, Romans chapter 15. I'm going to focus primarily on verse 4, but I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. If you've been studying with us, you know that we looked at this text last week, and so you're already understanding something of the context. But listen to Paul's writings, chapter 15, I begin in verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. And here's our text. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to the reading of God's Word. So think for a moment. I'm going to look at just three simple points as we look at verse 4 here, and I want you to think about that with me. But just start it this way. How do people generally treat the Bible today? What do people most often think about when they think about the Bible, the Scriptures that we hear? Well, some people, of course, really don't care. They might have heard about the Bible, but they really don't have any opinion one way or the other. Some people certainly hate the Bible, and in the history and in modern times, people burn the Scriptures in their hatred against God and Christianity. There is a violent response to the Scriptures themselves. Some people take a very academic approach. Great historical writing speaks much of history, very much to be admired in that way. Well, I hope that's not our approach here today. I hope that our approach, while it might include an academic feeling towards these things, there's the recognition that this is the inspired, authoritative Word of God that speaks to our hearts. I want the Word of God to start to touch our lives and maybe make us a little uncomfortable. Mark Twain, who certainly is not a friend to grace necessarily in that way, spoke eloquently and to the point when he said, "Most people are bothered by those passages they don't understand, but the passages that bother me are the ones I do understand." And maybe that's what we need to hear today. The ones I don't understand, okay, but the ones I do, they kind of touch a nerve, don't they? Well, maybe the Holy Spirit will touch a nerve in us today to speak to us through His Word. And I want to see that there here again in verse 4. Just one verse. Again, the context, if you've been following, Paul has been writing here in Romans 14 and 15 about Christian liberty, about those of us who have a strong faith and don't have the debatable issues to worry about, must think highly of those who struggle with these things, who have the weak faith. We have to be careful for each other. That's in verse 1, bear with the failings of the weak. It's right here, just after verse 3, when he talks about Jesus, actually quoted from Psalm 69, who took upon himself the insults that should be on us. He suffered for us. And then he speaks in verse 4 about what was written in the past for encouragement and our hope. And so to Paul, and certainly to our Lord, the Scriptures were a very important part of the journey of life for us as believers. So look at these points here in chapter 15, verse 4. Three things I want you to think about in regard to the Scriptures. The first thing that this verse tells us is that all Scripture is for our instruction. All of Scripture. Now, Paul speaks here, of course, that which was written in the past. To what is he referring when he says written in the past? Well, obviously, he's thinking of the Old Testament Scriptures. Everything that was given down that he would know as raised in a Jewish family, all the Scriptures written in the past were given to him. Certainly for us today, now that we have the rest of Scripture, the entirety of the 66 books of the Bible, this is God's Word given to us, spoken to us. He refers here to that which is speaking towards the things of God. It is God's Word to instruct us. I like the way that Andrew Sandlin puts it. This is a little definition. He says, the Bible is preeminently God's written interpretation of His revelation in history. I'll give it to you again, and I'm going to speak of it a little later as well. The Bible is preeminently God's written interpretation of His revelation in history. It's basically God revealing to us His history and what He's doing. That's what the Bible is all about. Now, God, of course, hasn't just spoken here. God speaks in ways that He has not revealed to us. He speaks through creation. He spoke through prophets in the old times and so on. But Paul is speaking here of that which was written down. This is God's word given to us. And so, as Paul writes to Timothy in his letter, you know these verses well. All Scripture is what? Thank you. God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It does something, right? It's God's authoritative word. He breathes it out so that we might be rebuked, taught, corrected, trained in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen very carefully. Kids, adults, listen and pay attention. This is important. Is that God breathes out His word. He speaks to us here, not to interest us in academic pursuits, but that we might be taught and trained and rebuked and corrected. Why? So that we will grow up into proper servants of the living God. You see? Here's the purpose. It's to teach us that we might serve the living God. Now, there's a myriad of things, of course, it can teach us. Take time to read Psalm 119. We've looked at a couple verses from it here this morning. And almost every verse in that chapter speaks about the Word of God, the statutes, the testimonies, the commandments, the laws of God. All these words to describe God's Word to us and how it's there to instruct us, to teach us. What does it teach us? It teaches us about the character of God. It instructs us as to who God is. One of the most important components of understanding Bible reading is to find, what does this teach me about the living God? That's essential. The reason we are in so much trouble in our world is because people ignore the living God. And part of the reason they ignore Him is because they don't know who He is. And part of the reason they don't know who He is they haven't been taught these things and shown from the Scriptures. Here is God. We should fear Him. It teaches us more than that, of course. It certainly teaches us also about the plight of humanity, about sin, rebellion against God, the need for salvation. This is very much the heart of the gospel, isn't it? It teaches us the remedy that Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins so that I may be made right before God. And as soon as I say that, because you're such astute students of the Word and have been following Romans, you know exactly what text to go to. I won't ask you to answer right now. That's in Romans 3. That we've been justified by grace through faith. The enormity, you see, of what we're taught here. God, our plight, our salvation, and of course, in terms of how we might serve Him. It just teaches and teaches and teaches. And one of the wonderful things is it never stops. I remember growing up in Corunna, Ontario. I've mentioned that place, and I've thought of that more these days because recently, you know, my mom passed away and went to glory. And again, thank you for your cards and notes of encouragement. It's been very helpful to our family. But going through that and at the funeral and past that, going through all sorts of old pictures. And there's one picture in there, an old slide. You remember what slides are? Teach that to your kids, you old people. Okay, what's a slide? It's a thing I play on the backyard. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. And we transfer them to whatever they call it. Anyway, but there's a picture of the First Baptist Church, the building in Corunna, Ontario. It's early 60s. There's a handsome, lovely-looking boy there and the rest of his family beside them. And there we are. And I thought of all the days that I grew up in that church and the Word of God that was taught, not just from my dad as the preacher, but from Sunday school teachers early teaching these things. It wasn't just so we had something to do. It was to train us in righteousness and the things of God, you see. That's what God's Word does. It teaches us. And we need to be listening and learning these things. Man, remember what I said? The Bible is preeminently God's written interpretation of His revelation in history. It's what God has done. He's revealing Himself to us. Therefore, we read to know who He is. And that's the primary concern. That the Bible instructs us in a way that we can, through the Holy Spirit, actually know the living God. Let that just sink in just for a moment. That through the Holy Spirit and the teaching of His Word, you can come not just to acknowledge the existence of the eternal God, but to know Him personally as your God and King. He does that just because He delights to do it for His glory. And we become the recipients of His revelation Isn't that huge? You know, I kind of giggle, if you don't mind me giggling for this morning, and I'm not going to get political, but I know that our premier's getting a little hot water because he won't reveal to everyone else what his plan for phase two or wave two of this coronavirus thing. And they want to know, and he's not telling them yet. Well, that's fine. We don't want to know, but here, the God of the universe tells us what we really need to know, who he is and how we might know him. Staggering, isn't it, that God would do that? But that's not all here. God's word is getting written in the past to teach us. But secondly, all scripture is intended to give endurance and encouragement. It's intended to give endurance and encouragement to those of us who are believers. Now, let's face it. The reality of the life of a believer is there's hardship. There's the hardship of just generally living in a fallen world that everybody has. We live in a sinful world. We get sick. We get flat tires. There's all kinds of things that are part of that. That's just part of the world. But specifically and more intimately, as Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 13, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. If we follow Christ, right, we understand that there will be persecution, there will be conflict. It will be there. If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. Get used to it. That's part of the badge, if you will, of connection to our Lord we have when we suffer for his sake. And that's so we suffer difficulties, we suffer challenges in so many ways. It's a long journey, this journey of faith, isn't it? It isn't just a short sprint to the end. It's the long journey, and that's why we see the Word of God as that which encourages us to endure. It shows us there's much to face to get to the end, but you'll endure through the encouragement of the Scriptures. Hasn't that been your situation sometimes when you've been perhaps particularly weighed down by some pressure point or situation, and you get to reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit leads you to a certain text? And maybe you even, like I do it sometimes, you begin to weep because it speaks to your very situation. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, waves over you with his love and compassion and encouragement that you wouldn't have had if you didn't spend time in the Word. He speaks so that we might be encouraged and find endurance in life as a believer. Many have seen that in their own lives, certainly in our day, but in history itself. I was pondering this the other day with someone at home, and think about this morning as an illustration, which some of you know the life of Eric Little. If you don't, read about his life. Called to be a missionary to China, but gifted as a guy that could run like the wind. Shock, actually, his one daughter, I think if she's still alive, still lives in Oakville. We had her come here speak at one point. But amazing, 1924 Olympics, wins the 200-yard, didn't do the 100, which he would have won anyway, because they were running it on Sunday, and he didn't want to be on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath. And he wins, glorious stuff. But leading up to this point, it was a real struggle for his family. You might have seen the movie, and I'm not sure I'm allowed to talk about movies in church, but we'll talk about it anyway. And the one scene that still you know, grips my heart when I see it, where his sister's becoming concerned about his morality because he runs so much, and he's playing on the Olympics, and he's supposed to go to China. And she's very disturbed about this, and she confronts them. And you can see the picture in my mind, I can right now, on the hills in Scotland. And he comes alongside her, and she says, "Jenny, I've decided to go to China." And she's excited, exhilarated. But he says, "First, I'm going to run in the Olympics." And she's quite downcast at that point. And he begins to explain to her why that is. He says, "God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his glory. The glory of the Lord, because he's made me this way. But he's made me for a purpose, and that purpose is China, and I will go." Of course, he went, and he started the mission there, and he worked in China. Read the biography. It's fantastic stuff. And the spring, early spring, late winter of 1945, he dies in a concentration camp in China. He had his faith. Where does endurance come from? Where did the encouragement come from? The Scriptures. The Word, which gives us the promises of God, and says, "You're my children, and I will use you, and I will love you, and you will suffer for me, but you will be encouraged when you read my word." Is that not true? It's the Scriptures. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We look to those things by faith, and so we don't give up. And that's the point here. Think about how the Lord's encouragement has been in your life along the way. When we're tempted to leave and maybe just struggling in what we're doing, Paul certainly knew those struggles, but he trusted. He had the encouragement to keep moving forward. So that's what the Word of God does. It's intended to give endurance and encouragement, but leads to this last point. Go back to our text here. And that's the reminder that all Scripture has the goal of, as Piper says, sustaining our hope. Look at verse 4 again. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Why? So that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provided, what does it say? We might have hope. Now, the hope of which the Apostle Paul speaks here is not that wishful thinking. We've talked about this before. But it's the sure and present hope in the promises of God and what He has planned to do. There is our hope. We'll have hope through the Word of God as we get this encouragement through the Scriptures themselves. The psalmist puts it this way, again, Psalm 119, verse 81. It is, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. It's the hope in the word of God. Why? Because this is an expression of God himself. We worship God. We don't worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible who speaks his holy word to us. Therefore, in its whole capacity to teach us, we know that this is God speaking to us. And through that, you see, now we have hope. It encourages us to keep on. Again, we talk about Eric Little and his life, but I was reading through a commentary by Piper, and he reminds us of the story of missionary Henry Martin. And I've known of Martin, reading of his life. He was a young missionary who went to India in the area of Arabia and Persia back in the early 1800s, but 1806 is when he went there. In so doing, he left his fiancée, Lydia, back home in England. So he's a young man. He goes off to the mission field himself. He would never see her again. He dies at the age of 31. But he goes on the boat crossing in the ocean to get to India itself. He fought back self-pity and discouragement with the promises of God's word. He arrived in Calcutta in May and 2 months later had a devastating experience. One of the veteran missionaries preached a sermon directed against Henry Martin and his doctrines. He called his teaching inconsistent, extravagant, and absurd. He accused him of seeking only to, quote, gratify self-sufficiency, pride, and uncharitableness, end quote. How could this lovely young man endure such a crushing experience? And not only endure, but during the next 6 years, have the perseverance to translate the New Testament into Hindustani, Persian, and Arabic. We can hear the answer in his own journal. In the multitude of my troubled thoughts, he says, I still saw that there is a strong consolation in the hope set before us. Let men do their worst. Let me be torn to pieces, and my dear Lydia torn from me. Or let me labor for 50 years amid scorn and never seeing one soul converted, still it shall not be worse for my soul in eternity, nor worse for it in time. Though the heathen rage and the English people imagine a vain thing, the Lord Jesus, who controls all events, is my friend, my master, my God over all. See, Henry Martin fought the battle against discouragement and hopelessness with the truth of God's word. Jesus is my friend, my master, my God, my all. And where did he learn that? Through the Scriptures. Through the pouring over the Word of God, led by the Holy Spirit, to learn of the hope we have in Christ, which would transfer a man's thinking in that everything he does is for the sake of Christ. If he gets these things along, great, but he wants Christ, as we sang before, show us Christ. And our goal to please him. Paul reminds us of the joy for our hearts of heaven. If, as he says, you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have now become a servant. Colossians 1:23. There's the encouragement, you see. It's through the Scriptures. I mean, let's be brutally honest. Life can be discouraging. It takes its toll on us. We find times when we just think, we'll pack it in. We're done. I'm finished. Have you ever had that feeling? No, not you. I have. There are times in my ministry I think, I'm done with this. This is too much. But then the Lord gives me a nice swat in the backside and says, come on, Clemens. Stop being so self-pitying and serve me. No, we don't give up. We don't do that because we're strong. We do it because we're held by the strong one himself. The reason we don't pack it in is because Christ won't let us. Because he has us in his grip. And he gives us his word to encourage us to keep on in service for him. And to find great hope in him. Well, how does this happen? How do we do that? Let me just suggest then, by way of drawing things to a conclusion this morning, I would call four takeaways, four little lessons to maybe jot down or keep in your mind this morning. The first is this. If we're to find this great encouragement and hope and strength and perseverance through the Word of God as it blesses us, then we need to believe in the truthfulness of God's Word. That is to say, we need to actually believe the Word is true. It is infallible, inspired, inerrant, authoritative. It is God speaking. It is not just a book that contains some of God's words. It is all of God's word. What did Paul say to Timothy? Scripture is God-breathed. He speaks it to us. It's his word. And so all of it has authority in my life. Let's be honest. It would be nice if we could cherry-pick what we want in the scriptures, couldn't we? But we can't. We take it all. The good, the stuff we understand, the stuff we don't understand. These are the things we learn from. It's God's word, truthful in every way. And that's why as a church, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, the infallibility of the word, the authority of Scripture that speaks to our hearts. It speaks to every situation that we have in life. Well, you say, well, no, wait a minute. This afternoon I'm going for an oil change. God's word doesn't speak about an oil change. And I'm not being silly. Well, it does, really. You go for your oil change, you're going to interact with people there, you're going to maybe be faced with a bill that is more than you thought it would be. How are you going to react? You're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel. What will you do? You see, it affects that. It affects everything. It literally points us that everything we do is because of Christ and through his word to the world. That's what we identify as Christians. If we can't say that, then we are not Christians of the scriptures. Because that's what directs our lives. Believe that it is true. Secondly, then, along with this, is then seek to live your life according to the scriptures. It's not just about telling our Sunday school teachers and group leaders, you know, follow the word. Well, of course, we want them to do that. It's a personal thing for every one of us, little ones, older ones, to live according to the scriptures. Again, throughout the scriptures we have that. In Deuteronomy, Moses speaks there about the word of God. The commands that the Lord gives you, put them upon your heart. Line them on your foreheads, live by these things, obey the Lord, and it will go well with you in the world, and so on. They have to obey the word. That's the obedience factor. Third, not only do we need to live by the scriptures, see them as authoritative in our lives, but then we need to find a sense of rest in the God of the scriptures. That the word of God would give us a sense of comfort and joy in the presence of God himself. Here's one of the things that's so helpful for you to think about in your own personal walk with the Lord is when you spend time in the Word, pray over the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, take notes, read your devotion guide, whatever it might be, read lengthy, read short, read these things, and then just to stop and think about what it tells you about your God. To allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because one of our problems is we spend far too much time talking and not nearly enough time listening. We like to tell God what to do. We don't want to really sit and listen to what he has to tell us. I know we've got lots of noise. You've got work and the kids and all these things going on. But take time. God, speak to me. Show me Christ. Show me your word. And listen. Those would be the most profitable times of your life. There is nothing more profitable than spending time in the word speaking with the Lord. Why is that? Because that feeds everything else, isn't it? My whole life is going to be resonating when I do those kinds of things. Rest in the God of the Scriptures. As again, the psalmist says in Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Rest in the Lord through the Scriptures, and see your life prosper for His name. You see, this is the realities, because the final thing I would suggest then as a takeaway here is, in all of this, look at the Scriptures and what we've talked about today, and then go and serve Him with a passion. It is not a matter of meditating and sitting still and never doing anything. It's getting up and going and doing. Maybe over this time of COVID, you've been a bit lethargic in many areas of life, and maybe your spiritual life. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to kickstart some of those things in your world. Maybe you really haven't been that active in doing the things of the Lord over these past months, and there's reasons for that. But maybe we need to see here, Lord, you've told us to go and do as the writer of Hebrews says, I hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Is that your joy in the Word today? Encourage you to serve Him in this way, to know His delight, and in all things God will be glorified. I'm excited for what God has for us here in the months to come, in the years to come. You know why? Because He is using fallen, broken vessels like you and me to take His Word, and we see the world change around us. May God be glorified to do that in us and through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word is truth. You speak it to our lives. Father, help us to listen, help us to obey, and help us to seek You only. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.